Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Chris Brewer is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Chris is a friend of mine, about to become a friend of yours, I promise you. He's the president and CEO of the Business Council of Fairfield County, which is the county where Stamford, Connecticut resides. And Chris and I have gotten to know each other over the last year or so through some mutual friends and through some wonderful hospitality that he and his other Fairfield County folks showed me last year. I just can't tell you how nice they were to me, and I'll never forget my visit with them. Although I've been to Fairfield County many times, that was a great event we had. And Chris is doing something that is very, very near and dear to my heart. He's a business organization leader, and we're going to talk about that today. Chris Brewer, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. I'm really glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. Thank you again so much for all the great hospitality you guys showed me last year when I was up there.
Well, it's our pleasure. We were delighted to have you.
We had fun, didn't we? So, Chris, my audience knows that I'm an absolute nut advocate for Chambers of Commerce. I believe I've been on record for a long time saying that the three pillars of the American economy, going back to the beginning almost, is the small business owner and the rancher and the farmer, that's one, community banks, locally owned and founded community banks, and chambers of commerce. I believe those are the three building block pillars of the U.S. economy, going back way back before they were major corporations. What do you think?
Well, I think they really are, and I think just as the economy has evolved and just as the environment in which, for example, community banks have to function in and the way use of the land has changed over the years, chambers have changed, mm-hmm. and they have kept up with technology, with demographics, with politics, you know, how you operate in different kinds of settings. But universally, they're about working towards the collective economic good. And yet, they're so well known. Sometimes people fall into habits,
that's right.
or have an old set of expectations, and they don't really know how to get the most out of them. Since chambers have so much to offer, it's exciting to help people understand how they can get more from them.
Well, there's no question about it, and I think that unfortunately, chambers of commerce, a chamber type organization, your organization doesn't call itself a chamber, but you function in the same way. There are many organizations out there that do the same thing besides yours. A chamber of commerce in America, in my opinion, is one of the most underappreciated entities in the country. There is no other entity in any community that has membership and stakeholders that cut across all the disciplines of a community like the Chamber of Commerce. Business doesn't do it. Education doesn't do it. The government doesn't do it. Only the Chamber of Commerce has that ability to do that. And that's, in my opinion, that's the reason why a local chamber is really a huge part of the nexus of holding a community together.
I think that's right.
And here's one more thing, Chris, and I want to, and I'm not going to fuss at you about this, but I fuss at chambers about this all the time. Chambers of commerce are the worst at hiding their light under a bushel. They don't toot their own horn enough, I think. What do you think?
I think that's true, and I think part of that is that because the name, the concept is so familiar. I mean, they've been around in this country more than a century. And every community has one, and people don't necessarily get past the brand they grew up with, mm-hmm. and so they have a different set of expectations. In the same way, people tend to be behind the curve in understanding what their local library does.
About 5 years ago, About five years ago, I helped the Erie, Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce celebrate their 200th anniversary. That was fun. That was great. Mm-hmm. So another thing I think that people misunderstand about chambers and business organizations like yours is they think that sometimes I think most people think they're part of the government. Don't you?
Well, anything that has to do with this, with a broad civic purpose, people do tend to confuse it with whatever the jurisdiction you're in. So they think you're part of the city or part of the county. Yes, I think that's a common misconception.
So what do you guys do in your part of the world? What do you do to deal with some of these realities?
Well, the first thing is we try to establish direct relationships with the people who are in smaller businesses, just mm-hmm. as we do with large businesses and all kinds of agencies of government, because we look at organizations like the Chamber or many others, you know, that you have associations that serve human resources leaders, real estate community, investor groups. And if we understand these groups as collections or groups of people who make decisions, people who lead enterprises, people who have needs, then we can really hear what they need and hear how we can help. If we treat them all as a bunch of brands or a bunch of, in the old world of chambers, you just want to put the decal on the door saying they're a member, well, then you're not going to deliver as much value as they need and you can give. So it starts, from our point of view, it starts with understanding the people within the enterprise and let the people then tell us about the enterprise. But you know, we want to serve them. They'll run their own business if we can, mm-hmm. and if we can help them, then we're helping their business. And I think that is very definitely the state of the art in chambers across the country today.
And yet one of the things that I continue to remind people about whenever over the years, I've had a lot of different jobs in my chamber, which I've been a member of for decades, and have worked talked to people, chamber members and prospects all over the country over the last many years. When they say, what has the chamber done for me lately? I tell them, well, the chamber is you. What do you mean, what has the chamber done for you? You're the chamber. I mean, that's the beauty of the chamber, isn't it? The chamber can be whatever the local stakeholders want it to be, good, bad, or ugly.
That's exactly right. And to just take that another step farther, many people think of the chamber as the events that it presents, whether it's, you know, breakfast, regular breakfast gathering, business after hours, lunch and learn, bringing in an elected official. But the events of the chamber are really the front door to a house. And if you only, you know, kind of are aware of the front door, you're not getting the benefit of everything else.
And so that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. We're going to bring you in the front door of the local business council, Chamber of Commerce, and let you see what's inside, how you can become more effective, and how you can contribute. Right back with Chris Brule. He's with the Business Council of Fairfield County.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.